Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Skyblaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I'm Skyblaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, but he does have a similar colour scheme for his costume. So, of course, we're talking about Spider-Man. So, following the recent release of Across the Spider-Verse in cinemas, it seemed like a pretty good time to start going through the Webhead's catalogue of games across Sega consoles and show off what he got up to on the likes of the Mega Drive, Mega CD, and Master System, among others. So, face front, true believer, as we look across the Segaverse. Do you see what we did there? The first game for this evening is Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin, which actually released across four different Sega consoles in 1991 to 1993. Those being the Master System, Game Gear, Mega Drive, and Mega CD. Who have we got in the chat today? We've got Nick Command, who was helping me out with the music earlier, which I will get to. I'll get to the saga of the music later. Grey Four, who's actually, I think you're doing the socials this evening, aren't you, love?
That I am.
Resident SD's here. Hi, Resident SD. You're not often in the chat. Electric Boogaloo. If you want a shout out, make a note in the chat and I will give you a shout. So, the plot for each version of Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin is pretty much the same, and the game features are also pretty similar. So, any differences I will cover at the end of this segment. I'll also talk about the saga of music. The plot sees the Kingpin framing Spider-Man for the theft of a nuclear bomb, which he has hidden somewhere in New York, and will detonate it within 24 hours. Doesn't the Kingpin live in New York? That seems unsmart. Spider-Man needs to defeat a host of his villains to get the necessary keys in order to disarm the bomb. And they are stopping him. The villains who also live in New York. I'm just saying. As you might expect, you get to web swing and climb walls while navigating levels. But along with fighting crime, you are also expected to take up his alter ego, Peter Parker's job as a photographer. Taking photos with enemies will get you money from the Daily Bugle at the end of each level, which is then used to purchase more web fluid. The bigger and badder the enemy, the more money that you will receive. The plot said the bomb would detonate in 24 hours, and that time limit is in fact enforced within the game. While not set to 24 real-world hours, because that would be weird, you're still playing a timed game, so you can't spend forever looking for power-ups and secrets. Which, I mean, depends on your point of view, really. I mean, there are some good things and some bad things to having timed levels. As mentioned, each game has a few differences between them, not counting the graphics and audio. I'll run through those after our first musical break. Yeah, Grateful's putting the socials on Twitter, but I've kind of given up using Twitter because it's such a disaster zone. I'm mostly on Mastodon and Tumblr at the moment. Are you copying everything over to Mastodon?
I will be attempting to, yes.
Okay, cool. Just use my account for that, because that'll be logged in. Anyway. So, the first of our music tracks for this evening is from Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin, the 8-bit version, so the Master System and Game Gear version. We have the track called Warehouse. And from Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin on the Mega Drive, we have Central Park. So have a listen, let's see what you think, and I'll be back after this music break.
Thank you.
And that was Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin on the Mega Drive, Central Park. And then before that, we had from Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin 8-bit Warehouse. I apologise if there's any break in transmission or if you hear any interference or banging or crashing. Just as I went in, we appear to be having interference from Spider-Man villain Electro. Because just as I went into that music break, we had a peal of thunder so loud it shook the windows. So yeah, let's hope that everything is fine and I don't get blown up by lightning. Right, moving on. So all versions of Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin, bar the Mega CD, have a rest mechanic, which lets you restore your health between levels at the cost of in-game time. The Mega CD version, on the other hand, has you start each level with a full health bar, though across all games your web fluid will not auto-refill. This is only done through power-ups or by selling photos at the end of the level. The Mega Drive version has only one ending, while the other games have multiple endings. Two each on the Game Gear and Master System, and three on the Mega CD. For the Mega Drive, your ending will be determined on whether you were able to defeat Kingpin before Mary Jane is dropped into a pit of acid. If she falls, game over. The Game Gear and Master System don't have Mary Jane, but you get different endings depending on whether or not you were able to capture the Kingpin after disarming the bomb. The Mega CD version has endings on whether you succeed in disarming the bomb and saving Mary Jane from the acid, or if you stop the bomb but fail to save Mary Jane, and lastly, if you fail to do both. Well, that's a bit of a dark ending, isn't it? The Game Gear and Master System versions also have a couple of hidden Easter eggs that are only accessible on the Nightmare difficulty. One which lets you play as a symbiote or black-suited Spider-Man, and the other is supposedly a Pac-Man style minigame. However, I've not been actually been able to find any visual evidence of this actually existing. None of the playthroughs of the videos actually showed this existing. I found references to it, but I haven't actually seen it, so I've not been able to confirm it with my own eyes. Hello also to Doan and Pocket Aleri, who have joined the chat. Hello, good people. And Nicholas Aman returned after his PC crashed. Maybe he's also experiencing issues from Electro. Good lord. It also appears that the ocean is falling out of the sky onto Sheffield. Good. Great. Fantastic. Right, okay. Where was I? Lastly, the Mega CD version has extra features over the other games, such as voice-acted cutscenes, 21 comic book collectibles hidden across the various stages, of which there are 45 stages, considerably more than the other versions of the game, but thankfully you don't need to complete them all to beat the game. And of course, the Mega CD version has an absolutely amazing soundtrack by Spencer Nilsson. Now, about the soundtrack. The software that we use to broadcast the music is called Radio DJ. Radio DJ has a quirk where if you have a track that is called something incredibly generic, like track 1, it will think that anything else also labelled track 1 is the same, despite it being a different artist, a different album, in a different folder, because Radio DJ is very stupid. The music for Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin on the Mega CD plays in the game randomly, so any level you select can be like one of five different tracks, and there isn't really a specific name for these as far as I know, so they were labelled in the soundtrack track 1, track 2, track 3, and so on. That meant when I tried to download it and put it on Radio DJ, it went, nah. Not having it. It's the same as the other track 1, track 2 thing. Okay. Sonic had to go through and rename them, But then we discovered that the tracks are randomised and don't actually have a specific name. So we're going to do our best. We've had a couple of requests. The first one is, of course, Swing Time, which is played quite a lot on the 24/7 track that has been requested quite a lot. So that was requested by Green Viper. He got there first. And then also from Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin on the Mega CD, we have Stage Theme 5. This is what it's been renamed to. It may or may not be Union Terminal Freight Station. We don't know. Might be. It still sounds pretty cool. So that one, I think, was requested by Electric Boogaloo. I hope this is the right track, Boogaloo. Please let me know if not. But I hope you enjoy these, and I'll speak to you after this music break for Spider-Man the video game on the Sega System 32 Arcade. Enjoy.
morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. This is Nicolas Aman, the demon ruler of the Radio Sega playlist, and you're listening to
The Hidden Palace.
Track was because we thought it might have been a track called Power, but it's not. It wasn't the one that Electric Boogaloo was after, but it sounds awesome. So I'm just going to carry on calling it Stage Theme 5, and we'll sort out what it's called when Nick and Electric Boogaloo join their enormous brains together to figure out what the name, what the tracks in this soundtrack should actually be called, because at the moment it's really confusing. So I'm just going to carry on calling it Stage Theme 5 for now. And then before that, we had from also from Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin on the Mega CD, we had Swing Time, and that was requested by Green Viper. So at least I got that one right. Right, okay. And, oh no, Nick just noticed because his computer crashed, he lost all the notes he made about the Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin Mega CD soundtrack, because it was on an unsaved text file. RIP. I'm sorry, Nick, that's pretty harsh. But I suspect if you talk to Electric Boogaloo, between you two, because you are both very smart and very educated, Sega educated people, you should be able to sort it out. I have faith in both of you. So next up, we have Spider-Man the video game, which came out in 1991 on the Sega 32 System 32 arcade board. Now this is a four-player side-scrolling beat-em-up, which has you playing as Spider-Man, Black Cat, Hawkeye, or... Wait, Namor the Submariner? Not a character who's, like, lives in or is from New York. I mean, somebody like Captain America or one of the Fantastic Four or Iron Man? No? Alright. It really feels like an odd choice for a character to team up with Spider-Man, seeing as he's worked with Spidey twice. Yeah. He'd make more sense being in a Fantastic Four game, because he has actually teamed up with Fantastic Four a number of times. He's also had a punching match with them a few times, but that's beside the point. Actually, that being said, a four-player Fantastic Four game in this style would actually be pretty cool. Moving on. So our plot starts around a mystical tablet which is being stolen by Scorpion. Didn't they do this storyline in the animated series? I seem to recall. Anyway, throughout the game, you'll run into a number of Spider-Man's rogues gallery, including Venom, Kingpin, Green Goblin, the Lizard, Electro, Sandman, and Hobgoblin. Your life starts out as a default figure of 400, which drops by 1 every 3 seconds, although getting hit will drop it quicker. But thankfully, you'll come across life canisters, which will add to that figure, letting you play for longer. Looking through the game cabinet's manuals, this starting value could be dropped as low as 200, ow, or as high as 600. The game also switches from pseudo 3D visuals that you'd find in games like Streets of Rage or Golden Axe to a more 2D platformer at certain parts of the game. I'm going to loop my talk bit. Near the end of the game, you will encounter the mastermind behind all of this, Dr. Doom! Well, actually, no. You see a projection of him after beating up Kingpin, then you face off against him after landing in Latveria. No, wait. That's a Doombot. But it's okay, because you get to finally punch his lights out after that. No, wait. He's powered himself up again. It's just another Doombot. Was Doctor Doom on holiday for this one? Was he like, I'm just gonna send Doombots, I can't be bothered. Nah, sounds boring. I'm just gonna go and send rude messages to Reed Richards on Twitter. Doctor Doom just went on holiday, was laying on a beach somewhere, probably still in full armor, and let his Doombots sort it out. And Doan's saying, slowly draining life is not my favourite game mechanic. No, it's not mine either. I mean, if it's only short for a short period, you know, like for a duration of a single level, okay. Especially if there's an actual storyline reason for it, like you've been poisoned or something. But just because screw you, then I don't like that either. It's not the best. Doan's also saying Dr. Doom is delegating like a good manager. Here's the thing, his general consensus is that Dr. Doom's actually like pretty good at running a country. He's just evil. He's just a megalomaniac. He just like, once he's actually in control of all of the things, he actually does a fairly good job. He's just, you know, not great at, you know, human rights and stuff. Sega getting the license for Spider-Man the video game is actually how Spider-Man ended up in The Revenge of Shinobi. Yes, that was originally, in fact, a licensed cameo. Electro Boogaloo was saying, I thought he only became the real Spider-Man on one of the later revisions, with version 1.0 being the fake one. I'd have to look that up to be sure. I think this has been mentioned at some point, but I can't remember the specifics. Oh, yeah. Lecture Boodle is linked to the Sega Retro article. Sega Retro are usually reasonably accurate with their information. Let's have some more music then, shall we? This is another request from Electric Boogaloo, and it's from Spider-Man the video game, and it's the music that's used in chapter 1-3, 2-3, and 4-3. And then after that we have, also from Spider-Man the video game, chapter 1-2 and 3-4. Which I think is actually like a remix of a track from Quartet, if I remember, if my notes are correct. So, yeah, enjoy those, and I'll be back after this to talk about a Spider-Man game on the Dreamcast. So enjoy that, and I'll speak to you after this break. We'll be right back. And we are back, and that was Spider-Man the video game, chapter 1, 2, and 3, 4, and before that, also from Spider-Man the video game, chapter 1, 3, 2, 3, and 4, 3, and that one was requested by Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, Revenge of the Shinobi has been being discussed in the chat, and the various copyright infringing appearances of superheroes that were in it. Hydro actually said that they were still making revisions to Revenge of Shinobi as late as 2009 because even the title screen was stolen from a film ad. Wow. Okay, then. And yeah, there's a couple of songs that were actually from originally from Quartet in Spider-Man the video game. For details about those, I suggest talking to Nicholas Mann, who is the local expert on such things. And Electric Boogaloo saying, the second Spider-Man track that I played in that block was a remix of OK Rap from Quartet. Oh, OK I Rap. Oh well. Our last game for today is on the last Sega home console, the Dreamcast. It is simply titled Spider-Man and was released in 2001, published by Activision and developed by Neversoft and Treyarch. This is the first full foray into 3D for Spidey, and if you've watched the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, you will be pleased to know that an array of the voice actors from that show retake their roles in this game. Now, the 90s Spider-Man series was actually my introduction to Spider-Man, and that's kind of where I fell in love with the character, because I really enjoyed that series. I think, I'd have to look this up to be sure, but I think it was being played before the Live and Kicking Saturday morning kids magazine show in the UK, which is where I first encountered it. Because they played Spider-Man and the X-Men, I think, during that slot. So, yeah, that's where I developed fondness for Spidey. So I'm very pleased that the voice actors from the show are in that game. The story begins with Otto Octavius, aka Dr. Octopus, or Doc Ock, showcasing his new technology and vowing to do all he can as a scientist to help humanity. Before his speech is finished, however, Spider-Man wakes his mate to the stage, beating up security and making off with Octavius's device. And this seems a bit out of character, especially to Peter Parker, since he's currently in the audience watching this happen, wondering who on earth could be framing Spider-Man and why. Well, it seems that Doc Ock is up to no good. As usual, we see him later in a lab somewhere with his quote-unquote stolen device, using it to blanket New York with dangerous fog, preventing people from leaving their homes and, more importantly, hiding the limitations of the hardware and stopping you from making your way down to street level. It was what they did back then. This is why sometimes it just became iconic, like in Silent Hill. This game has four difficulty levels: easy, normal, hard, and kid mode, which lets kids play with a simpler version of the game and still enjoy playing as everyone's favourite wall crawler. Throughout the game, you will find comics, which then you can then view the covers of, along with the game's cutscenes, the unique comic covers of the various chapters of the game itself, and even the numerous characters you meet in gallery mode. There's also a cheat menu which lets you unlock new costumes, a level select, unlimited health or unlimited webbing, and there's even a what if mode. Now, what if references a series of comics which explore different kind of continuities, or, you know, what if a different event happened. I'm trying to remember an example. It's like, what if Uncle Ben didn't die? I think that was one of them. Yeah. Things like that. Although I think one of the sillier ones was what if Aunt May became the Herald of Galactus. And I think that it was a parody, but it was very silly. So the what if mode will let you see changes to areas and even changes to character dialogue, So if you want to play this game for yourself, be sure to play through normally before trying the what-if mode so you can actually see the changes in detail. I actually have a copy of this game, but I've got the PlayStation version, the PS1 version. And if it has I haven't actually played it, but if it has the original voice actors from the old animated series, I'm more interested in it now. Right, I've got thanks to Nick again for the soundtrack for this, because we have got there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of difference between the PlayStation and the Dreamcast soundtracks. It appears to be mostly CD audio. The Dreamcast version, I think, is slightly less compressed, but there really isn't a lot of difference between them. So from that game, we have Stop the Presses, and then we have Bugle's Basement. Unfortunately, the music for this is not hugely inspiring, but it's okay. So have a listen and see what you think, and I'll be back after this for the Chiptune Corner.
Afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. This is Nicolas Aman, the demon ruler of the Radio Sega playlist, and you're listening to
The Hidden Palace.
are back. There was a bit of an interruption there. It looked like Electro briefly knocked out the stream. So we had from Spider-Man on the Dreamcast and PlayStation, Bugle's Basement. And from the same game before that, we had Stop the Presses. Okay. Yeah, the Dreamcast Spider-Man might have some music by Tommy Tallarico, but at this point, Tommy Tallarico could tell me that the sky was blue and I'd ask for independent verification. Make of that what you will. So, now on to Chiptune Corner. So I'm going to be talking about Leeds-based musician Infotoxin, who was originally born in Ireland and maintains cute close ties to her home country. They describe themselves as a semi-vagrant, semi-nameless bleep merchant, as well as an electronic musician and occasional AV art weirdo. Their words, not mine. They are also actually having a really tough time at the moment. Basically, a lot of the safety nets that were supposed to catch them haven't. So anything that you can do for their SoundCloud or similar would really help them out. I'm going to put their SoundCloud and their Mastodon page into the chat. So if you can have a look at those and help out if you can. If not, no worries, but I think it'd be a nice thing to do. I've also just realised that the name of the track is actually an Irish Gaelic, so I actually don't know how to pronounce it properly. I think it's Diablo something. Diablo? Diablo. If it's Gaelic, it's probably pronounced weird, so I'm going to call it Diablo Oct, and I apologise if I've binned the pronunciation, which I almost certainly have. So this is a track from Infotoxin, who is also going to be on the bill at the Steel City Chiptune gig in Meltdown at the end of August here in Sheffield, so I'm going to be performing alongside them. So yeah, that's the thing. I'm still having major imposter syndrome about that one, but I hope you enjoy this one. So have a listen and let me know what you think, and if you enjoy it, please go and visit their SoundCloud or their socials. Enjoy!
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.